Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we always do it without any manipulation. Of course, that means no hidden agendas, nothing for you to join, nothing for you to buy. This is simply a show about truth. It's one of the few shows where the message, and not the man, is important. Yes, I am the host, Rick Hughes, and I have been doing this show well over a year in the Birmingham area. And I'm very pleased, and thank you very much for giving me this 30 minutes of your day. But you know, it's not about me, it's about what I'm bringing you, which is the infallible Word of God. If you've ever wondered about the Bible, if you've ever wondered about God, if you've ever wondered about whether that stuff is true or not, stick around. You're going to hear some things you haven't heard before. And you will be able to orient and adjust to God's plan for your life if you want to. This series is not topical. This is not something, I don't do something topical each Sunday morning. It's usually more of a continuation, more of a series, not a topical study, as I said. And it's designed for those that have a hunger to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I'm doing this show. I'm looking for people. I'm looking for people that I call pivot members, people that are willing to make a difference in the future of this nation, not people that have a political agenda, not people that want to get into the political arena, but people that want to be the invisible heroes that will sustain a nation in great times of adversity as we're about to face in the future. Remember, God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear their prayer and then I'll heal their land. This is a promise out of the Old Testament. And those sort of people are the people that I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are serious about growing as a Christian. I'm looking for people that have a relaxed mental attitude, people that don't take themselves too serious, people that don't have hidden agendas, people that have a sense of humor, and people that can learn from the Word of God and want to learn on a daily basis. Quite frankly, it's hard to find people like that. I admit it to you. It's hard to find people that really want to have a maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. Most people are just satisfied with going to church and singing a few songs and going home. I mean, I've actually had people tell me, you're too much like college. It's too much like school. And I don't like that. I just want to go to church and want to hear a good sermon and want to go home. There's too much depth. And I understand that. No problem with me. You have free to live your life however you want to live your life. But I know that out there, there are some of you that want the depth. There are some of you that want to grow, and I know that God has assigned me to give you that information and to direct you to where you can find a qualified pastor that will indeed teach you the Word of God daily in your life so that you can grow to be that invisible hero, so that you can grow to be a member of the pivot, just like those people that Gideon had to find. God said, Gideon, there's just going to be a few of them. They're not the many you think there's going to be, because Gideon thought it would take thousands to defeat the Midianite army. But it didn't. It just took a small band of 300. That small band of 300 was the pivot of mature believers. And you know, that's what God's looking for. Those that he can count on. There's a passage in Ezekiel where God said he looked for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge before the land that he should not destroy it, but he couldn't find even one. For 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath stood and taunted the armies of Saul. And asked for a man, and not one man walked out, until a boy showed up named David, who had the guts to trust God. Maybe you're that sort of person. Maybe you're the one person that can change the course of history in this great nation that we call America. Maybe you're the man or the woman that God is going to raise up. Well, I can assure you of one thing. God only uses prepared people. And if you're not prepared, you're not going to be used. And this show is telling you how to be prepared. I promise you. So if you will listen, and if you will listen carefully, you'll be able to tell that I'm not leading you on. I'm not giving you a line of bull. I'm not trying to tell you something that's not true. You have enough sense to know truth when you hear it. And so listen and see what you think. We started a study last week on Christians who think they're spiritual. We tried to identify spirituality and exactly what spirituality really is. And I showed you the difference between being a spiritual Christian and being a mature Christian. And I told you last week that spirituality is absolute. Either you're absolutely spiritual or you're absolutely carnal. What that simply means is either the Holy Spirit is filling and controlling you or your sin nature is filling and controlling you. The difference is your volition makes the decision. You choose who you're going to let control your life. And if you choose to sin, then you're going to quench and grieve the Spirit just like I do when I choose to sin. And you can choose to recover from your sin or reclaim the filling of the Spirit by using 1 John 1:9 or other biblical verses that relate to the same thing where it says, if we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how we recover the filling of the Spirit. This is how we maintain our spirituality daily. But the other side of the coin, maturity, is always relative. It's relative to how much of the Word of God you have stored in your soul, how much time you spend studying the Word of God and applying the principles and the procedures found in the Word of God. A lot of people don't really spend very much time getting into the Word of God. Well, I find people on occasion say, I read my Bible every day. And, you know, that's really wonderful. I admire those sort of people. But the problem is the Bible is not a novel. It's a textbook. And people say, well, God, the Holy Spirit teaches me what I need to know. And there's no doubt He does teach us many, many wonderful things. But if He taught you everything you needed to know, then why did He equip men to be pastor teachers? Why did He give men that spiritual gift to study and teach the Word and to shepherd the flock? What's the deal? If you really don't need a pastor, then why did He give the gift? And so, that's like saying that I don't need an evangelist to be saved. All I got to do is just get saved. Well, certainly, people can get saved reading a tract. People can get saved by reading the Bible. But a lot of people get saved by listening to the evangelist as he communicates the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for the entire human race. Now, we want to continue this study today, if you're listening, on spirituality. And I have a question that I want to ask you, and the question is this. What is the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, we need to get back to biblical procedure in the Christian life. Not the gimmicks and the games that organized religion throws our way. And we're going to talk about some of these today. You see, the Christian life is the simplest thing in the world. But people try to make it something hard. People try to make it complicated. Many, many times, believers and pastors alike will set up a system of taboos that they want you to observe. And so they'll say, you're not really a spiritual Christian if you smoke a cigar. If you smoke a cigarette, if you chew, you're not really a spiritual Christian. If you drink a beer, you're not really a spiritual Christian if you go to any movie that's not G-rated. So they set up this taboo system, this system of legalism, and they try to make something hard out of what the Bible doesn't say is hard. Everybody wants some supernatural, extra sensational miracle. Everybody. These are the most popular shows on television today. These are the guys that get all the big 25, 30, 40, 50,000 people in attendance because people want a miracle. And yet it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference, not the miracle. Miracles come and go, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is what will sustain you under time of testing and adversity. So, the reason the Holy Spirit fills you, the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit, is to teach you truth. In John 16:13, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. None of the apostles could have written about the prophecies, or none of the apostles could have taught about the mystery doctrines of the church without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And in order for you to understand these things, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well, just as they did. The filling of the Holy Spirit was necessary for these things to be recorded, to be understood. And without the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life, we at best are going to operate on human energy, human viewpoint, human dynamics, and you will fail miserably in your Christian life. You may try to live a good Christian life, you just won't do it. You'll keep failing. And you may rededicate so many times that your rededicator gets wore off. The Holy Spirit fills us to glorify Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And the Holy Spirit fills you to glorify Jesus Christ. Now I want to make a little few side comments here along the way. Listen carefully. Here we go. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit fills us to glorify Jesus Christ, who lives inside of every believer. Where do I get that? I get that from 1 Corinthians 6:19, where the Bible says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. Inside of you right now is not only the Holy Spirit who has sealed you and indwelled you, and maybe, if you don't have sin in your life, he's filling you. And inside of you is Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son. This is the same Christ that appeared to the Jews in the temple as the Shekinah glory. The reason the Holy Spirit indwells you is to prepare a tabernacle for Jesus Christ, who comes to live inside of you. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. These are some notes I want you to think about now in regards to Jesus Christ living inside of you. Here you are driving down the road in your automobile on your way to church this morning, and maybe it's never dawned on you that Christ lives in you, in the temple in you that was prepared by the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit for the residency of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, my body was purchased out of the slave market of sin. I was dead in trespasses and sin. And the judgment that the Father put on the Son in my place paid for my sin, whether I believe it or not, and he purchased me out of the slave market of sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And so your body, the one you have right now, has been bought and paid for by the judgment of Christ on the cross for you. And now that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it is for him and not for fornication. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:15 that our bodies are members of Christ. And then it goes on to say, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Anytime a believer fornicates or has sex outside of marriage, whether they love that person or not, whether they intend to get married to that person or not, or whether it's just a one-night stand, it is taking something that belongs to Jesus Christ and linking it to a prostitute. There can be no more insulting thing than to do that. This is exactly the problem that Samson had in Judges 16 when he went down to Gaza and linked up with a prostitute. When he went down the My Way Highway and married a Philistine woman. And when he eventually fell for Delilah, who was able to learn the secret of his strength. The Bible in 6:18 even warns us to flee fornication. And it says, he that fornicates sins against his own body. It is your body that's the issue here. And the reason is because your body is the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory, where Jesus Christ resides. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, another verse says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and you are the temple. The Bible is telling you not to defile your body, your temple. And it's been talking about you can defile it when you hook up with a prostitute, when you fornicate. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 8:13, if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you put to deed the deeds of the body by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you will live. And so really, if you live or if you die, it's your choice. You have volition. You make the decision. You've heard the passages. You have to decide what to do. Are you going to use your body for the glory of God? Are you going to use your body to satisfy the lust of your flesh? That is something you need to consider. Now, can you tell if you're filled with the Spirit? Can you tell that? I mean, if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit, can you feel it? No. It doesn't go through morality. You can't say, well, since I don't fornicate anymore, I must be filled with the Spirit. That's not necessarily true. It's not through emotions. You can't tell it that way. I feel happy all the time. I got the joy, 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 thump, thump, thump down in my heart. I mean, that's not how you tell if you're filled with the Spirit. It's not through having some spiritual-sounding vocabulary, like saying, praise God, brother, sister, hallelujah, bless the Lord. It's not by having some facial expression where you're somber and serious all the time. It's not how you know if you're filled with the Spirit. It's not through some mystical second blessing. And you actually have thousands of blessings in your life, not just two. There's a very famous pastor one time, when someone asked him, have you had the second blessing? He said, well, yes, I've had the second blessing, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and thousands more. You see, how can you tell if you're really filled with the Spirit? Well, remember, the Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you ever intend to be a spiritually mature believer, you're going to have to stay filled with the Spirit. And there are things to recognize. Is it necessary for you to know that you're filled with the Spirit? Well, it may not be necessary to know it, but it is necessary to know that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. And a lot of people say, well, I can't keep up with all my sins. Who can? That's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all, I repeat, all unrighteousness, even the ones you don't remember. But you may recognize the filling of the Holy Spirit by the fruit that the Spirit produces in your life. This is very clear in Galatians 5. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, now there is a problem-solving device. Love is the virtue envelope that we all need to function within. And there are definitely two types of love. There's personal love for God and impersonal love for others. Personal love for God is motivational virtue in your life. And impersonal love for others is a functional virtue. You're never mandated to love other believers with personal love because they'll let you down. Only love God with personal love. He'll never change. But you love me or love your children, or love your wife, or love whoever, with an impersonal love. And that love is not related to who and what we are. It's related to who and what He is. That's the wonderful love called agape. It's a word you've heard before. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Joy is plus H. It's a sharing the happiness of God. It is a problem-solving device, problem-solving device number 9, and it comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. So love, problem-solving device number 6 and 7, this type of love causes sacrifice and service and removes jealousy, competition, and joy comes with it, and peace comes with it. This is the inner stability in the believer's life. So if you're filled with the Spirit, the obvious fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And then a word called long-suffering, makrothumia in the Greek New Testament. And this is perseverance towards circumstances and patience towards people. It's the ability to persevere through patience. It's to be long-suffering. It's not to be moody. It's to control your temper. Stay out of Operation Revenge and I'll get even. When you're filled with the Spirit, you do that. Another characteristic of the filling of the Spirit is gentleness. And this is a sort of a grace action in your life and an attitude of forgiveness in your life towards other people. And then goodness. What is goodness? What is that? It's production of divine good in your life, the good that God can reward, the good that God can use, the good that's called gold, silver, and precious stones in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Not the good that's called wood, hay, and stubble. That's the good that comes from the energy of the flesh, the good that doesn't glorify God, the good that's manufactured out of your own area of strength, not from the filling of the Spirit. Another characteristic of the filling of the Spirit is faith. What a wonderful problem-solving device that is. The faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3 in the protocol plan of God. Do you know what the faith rest drill is? Do you know how to execute the faith rest drill? Should. I've taught it on the show many, many times. If you don't know that, why don't you write to me? I'll send you a book. It's free, no charge. And it'll list all of these 10 problem-solving devices for you. The premise of what this show is built on. The flatline, understanding these 10 problem-solving devices and deploying them in the forward compartments of your soul so you can keep the outside pressure of stress from becoming the inside pressure. Let me rephrase that. You can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Again, as I've said it millions of times here, adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. And faith is how you execute the protocol plan of God in dealing with adversity when it hits you. It's a fidelity that God is always looking for in His children. Another way you can tell you're filled with the Spirit, another fruit of the Spirit, is through meekness, which is an old archaic King James word for humility. People that have humility are teachable. And humility simply means you orient to authority. Without understanding authority, you can never have any humility. And humility is a wonderful attribute in the life of the mature believer. And finally, the Bible mentions temperance or self-control. It's discipline of self, discipline of time, discipline of your circumstances, where you go, what you do. See, these are the things that make you Christ-like. It's not you changing your personality and acting spiritual, acting holy, walking around trying to look at heaven all the time and utter some sort of spiritual terminology. These are the characteristics of the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is how you can know that you're filled with the Spirit. And these are the things that glorify Jesus Christ in your life. Now, you cannot glorify Christ apart from the Holy Spirit's ministry to you. So our life on earth can be reduced to one simple factor. We are here to glorify Jesus Christ. And sin does not bring Him glory. And human good does not bring Him glory. There's nothing in our life that could glorify Him, because Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." But the amazing thing is that many believers today have never heard that. Many believers don't even know they have a spiritual life. Many believers don't even know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They've never heard of the problem-solving devices. They've never been taught how to grow spiritually. The things that I've been dealing with on this radio show for the last 2 weeks, many Christians have never heard this, and they may never hear it. They're not listening to this show. They're not going to hear it from me. Maybe they're going to hear it from someone else. But many believers, in fact, as I travel around the country, most of the believers that I meet don't know any of these things. And you want to give your pastor a test? I mean, you shouldn't do that, but just ask him sometime. Tell me, Pastor, what must I do to be a good Christian? And if he goes through this rigmarole about, well, you got to grow, that's G-R-O-W. This is an old cliche that Campus Crusade put out years ago. Go to God in prayer, read God's word, obey God, and witness for Christ, G-R-O-W. And that was supposed to be how you became a spiritual Christian. And the problem is, these are things that a spiritual Christian does. It's not how you become one. It's, in fact, reflective of a spiritual Christian. A lot of people have been taught ritual, but no reality to it. A lot of people have been taught to give, but not to grow. It's a shame. People have been taught ritual, how to take the Lord's Supper, how to go through the ritual of these things that go in the church, like infant baptism and the observing of Lent, but they've never been taught the reality of what it means. And when you take communion out of fellowship, well, that's a big danger in your life, because you bring judgment to yourself. People have been taught how to give, but not how to grow. People have been taught how to sing, but not how to serve. So remember this, the power for the Christian life is always in the Holy Spirit. But the choice for you to be spiritual, which is the same as being filled, the choice for you to be controlled, which is the same as being filled, the choice is in your volition. You make the decision. You choose, not God, you. He gave you autonomy. He gave you freedom. And you can make that decision. So before we conclude our subject on spirituality, we got to see what it's not. Here's what it's not. It is not this false spirituality, I call it. A lot of false ideas around in organized religion today. And most of those ideas major on some sort of sensationalism. And then they'll sell a book to you about it if you're dumb enough to buy it and pay $19.95 about it. But that seems to be what modern Christianity is about today, marketing. See, we live in an age when lazy-minded pastors don't take the time to study before they teach. The organized church puts a lot of demand on pastors. They seldom have time to study, running around visiting the hospital, counseling members, and marital and financial hardship. When does the poor guy have time to study? He couldn't study, and if he did have time, he probably wouldn't want to. It takes a lot of work to spend several hours a day in the Word of God. So well-meaning folk try to get all the rest of the believers straightened out in the church by imposing their pet taboos. And some are indeed deserving of being avoided and can be the result of being a spiritually mature believer. They're just not the means of being a spiritually mature believer. Spiritually taboos, you know, like don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that. Spirituality by works is no more effective than salvation by works. And you're not a spiritual Christian because you don't eat tomato soup. You're not a spiritual Christian because you don't eat rye bread. You're not a spiritual Christian because you don't watch any cable television. Another false concept is spirituality by personality imitation, imitating a mature believer. You know, some guy wears black, so you wear black. Some guy has a sad, somber, serious look all the time, and so you do that. Some people sound spiritual, so you start trying to sound spiritual. Lord willing, God bless you, brother and sister, and this and that. All of these things are mere superficialities, and they don't indicate whether a person is really filled with the Spirit or not. This tabooism, I'm spiritual because I don't do certain things, is really a bad thing, man. I mean, I don't mean the negative commands from the Word of God, which are unquestionable, where the Word of God says don't do certain things, but the big taboos in our society today, if you're going to be a good Christian, don't smoke, don't dance, don't go to movies that aren't G-rated, don't drink, don't gamble. And if you observe these, they're not going to make you spiritual. You may, in fact, judge other Christians that do them, and that'll definitely make you carnal. But these big taboos, and this is what I grew up hearing, this is what a good Christian is, and that's not true. I know some wonderful Christians, I'm really mature believers, that smoke. I know some real mature believers that love each other and go dancing with their wives. They go to movies that are not just G-rated. So come on, that's not what spirituality is. You don't compare yourself to other people and say, well, I'm a great Christian because I don't do those gross sins. You don't get spiritual by avoiding certain things. You don't get spiritual by going through some ritual. And you certainly don't get spiritual by trying to crucify yourself, because how in the world could self crucify self? Well, that's a little study on spirituality. If you'd like to know more information, you can always write to me. Jack will give you the address at the end of the show, or you can visit the website, bigrick.org. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.